Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food with me, your host, Erica Wides, on the Heritage Radio Network. So every few months, we take a little break from our regularly brilliant Let's Get Real shows to catch up on new stuff that pops up out of the foodiness rabbit hole, the newest foodiness products and trends to rear their deformed heads and try to take us humans further and further away from the real food we've eaten for the last 100,000 years or so, or even more to the point, in this episode, turning what's left of real food into foodiness versions from the get-go. But I'll get to that later. So when Chris and I are doing research on the show and we find this stuff in all sorts of places, we find it in the media, we find it in ads on the subway walls and trash cans around the city, on taxi ads on the roofs. We file it all away, and then every once in a while, we bring you a Trending Now show. So in tonight's episode, we have Trending Now, Cancer Walk sponsored by Cancer Water, Zero Calorie Sleep Water that probably also causes cancer, and M&M's flavored with real honey from France. Let's start with the cancer walks. Now, you probably know what I'm talking about, the organized fundraiser walks for specific diseases or charities. There's usually a lot of them this time of year, designed to get people out moving to raise research funds and bring people together to feel good about raising money for diseases like breast cancer or the AIDS walk, and also walks for all kinds of diseases that you've probably never even heard of before. And that's fine. It's okay with me. You know, if it gets people outside and moving and off of their couches, I'm okay with it. And back when I was a more serious runner, I did a lot of those, not walks, they were runs, but I ran for The Cure, I ran for God's Love We Deliver, I ran for colon cancer, I ran for heart disease, I did them all, you know, all the right diseases. If you have a money that you need, I mean, if you have a disease that you need money for, chances are there's a bunch of hardcore runners who will get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and run for your disease. Although it seems like these days it's maybe been downgraded to a lot of walking. But of course, the walkers and the runners alone don't raise enough money to offset the enormous cost of organizing these events. So that's where the corporate sponsors come in. All of those races that I ever did had huge corporate sponsors like Pfizer or Revlon. And we'd always get free stuff afterwards from them, you know, the swag bag. And I know, I understand that big charity events need big corporate sponsors. I get it. It's how the fundraising world works. And like I said, if you have an event that also gets people moving around, I'm okay with that too. I get it. But here's my issue. And here's why we've included this issue in this week's Trending Now show. Now, first of all, many of the diseases that people like to get out and walk slash run for could probably be prevented in the first place, or at least minimized, by people just getting out and walk slash running more and eating less foodiness. Maybe if you did it a few times a week and not just a few times a year in fundraiser season, we could do away with all of this fundraising stuff because way fewer people would be getting sick in the first place. So many of our biggest killers, like heart disease and diabetes and certain cancers, which are linked to inactivity, could be avoided, right? So getting out and walking a little 5K two times a year isn't going to do much except give you a few blisters and make you feel better and more altruistic and give you something to post about on Facebook and tweet about all weekend while you recover from the exertion of walking 3.1 miles. Now, there's proven research. We know this has all been proven that links lack of exercise with chronic disease. So wouldn't it be more practical and efficient to just exercise and leave the corporate funding to something more important, like, let's say, sponsoring this show? Just saying. Okay, so here's the second part of this and the reason why we've included it in this show this week, even though I just said the previous one was the reason. There was a cancer walk a while back that wound its way through Chelsea in Manhattan. Chelsea is a neighborhood in Manhattan if you're not a New Yorker. Now, you may recall, because I have mentioned it before, that Chris, who's my co-producer, lives now in Chelsea, and I used to live in Chelsea back in the 90s. And Chelsea isn't exactly what it used to be, which was a gay mecca full of muscly Chelsea boys and transvestite hookers and sex clubs and nightclubs and bars and all kinds of post-industrial buildings covered in art and graffiti. And it was edgy and hedonistic and fun and a little scary, and exactly what New York used to be before Bloomberg and the High Line and 7-Eleven ate it. Now, Chelsea is luxury high-rises along the High Line and corporate chain stores and stroller-pushing nannies and mommies texting in the middle of intersections while they drink their little bottles of $9 juice from Organic Avenue. Not exactly the Chelsea that we used to know. So Chris wakes up one morning after his Ambien wears off to the sound of a parade or a march or something outside of his window. And he goes to the window and he sees thousands of people, mostly women, most of them quite overweight, all dressed in workout gear and corporate logo covered swag, walking down his block in support of some disease. And what he notices is that all of these people, while they're walking, are drinking diet soda and diet flavored foodiness waters and diet sports drinks supplied by the corporate sponsors. So they're basically ingesting bottled water flavored and colored and sweetened by cancer causing substances to rehydrate their parched selves, because walking a 5K slowly through Manhattan is enough of a workout that you need more than water to prevent sports induced dehydration. And they're walking to support fundraising for the research needed to cure the foodiness-caused cancers that are being caused by what they're drinking and their 364-a-day year inactivity. Now, this particular walk was sponsored by Smartwater, which is an oxymoronic name because, as I've pointed out previously, water is already smart and it doesn't need enhancing. Now, I believe we discussed this not only last week, but also way back in episode 11 of Let's Get Real, which was, if it comes in a bottle, don't drink it unless it's booze, which was a very long time ago. So let's review it one more time, though, just in case you drank too much unflavored vodka this weekend and forgot. If you take plain old basic perfect natural water, then use even more water, petroleum, and other resources to put it in a plastic chemical leaching bottle. Add artificial sweeteners or just sugar, artificial chemical coloring and flavoring, and all the foodiness, mumbo-jumbo voodoo ingredients that Smart Water claims to use, then you're just asking for cancer. You can walk all the 5Ks you want, but you're still doomed. But since Real Water doesn't have a good branding team or a PR and social media team, never mind a budget for sponsoring charities, it never gets any of the credit it deserves. So it never gets to sponsor a marathon or a cancer walk or even a dance-a-thon. But it's okay, Water. I'll keep on drinking you right from the tap. I love you and support you and believe in you, even if you refuse to ever tweet. Now, the second big sponsor of the cancer walk was Dunkin' Donuts, another paradigm of good health and wellness here in America. Now, Dunkin' Donuts is a major sponsor of the New York City Marathon. And when I ran the New York City Marathon in 2007, we were given a donut and bagel buffet at the waiting area by the starting line. Now, I guess if you're about to run 26.1 miles, it's okay to eat a donut or bagel or two. I mean, we deserve it, right? That's fine. But a 3-mile slow saunter through Midtown Manhattan in a crowd of 10,000 people? Aren't we supposed to be walking in those things for our health? A blob of fried white flour dough and sugar and hydrogenated fats is just the fuel you need to keep you going for 3 miles before you collapse in a diabetic coma and have to be taken away by the EMTs in an extra-wide ambulance reinforced for the 400-pound-plus patients that they now have to carry away to the ICU. But Dunkin' Donuts is all about foodiness now, and they have turkey sausage and egg white sandwiches and sugar-free lattes and whole grain bagels, and they're remaking their image to be not just about deep-fried blobs of dough, but all kinds of foodiness breakfast and lunch products, too. But if you remember way back to the episode I did titled Bacon Comes from Pigs, Not Turkey, and also the episode called Cage-Free Schmage-Free, about eating real whole pasture-raised eggs and real bacon, you know that this is just more foodiness shenanigans. So yet again, like with Smart Water, it's a walk to raise money for a foodiness-caused disease sponsored by foodiness. All you need is a drug company, too, to provide the solution to the foodiness. So let me put it to you this way. Cancer Walk, sponsored by foodiness products that cause cancer, support cancer. If you want to stop cancer or diabetes or heart disease, just eat real food, drink real water, and exercise. There, I said it. Done. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be on to our next Trending Now segment. We will be right back.
You're listening to Leaving by Dead Stars on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Weitz, your host. And remember that this May is membership month here at Heritage Radio Network. So please go to the website, heritageradionetwork.org, and click on the support button and join us in our mission. Okay, so next on our Trending Now show, since we're still kind of on the subject of water from the first segment, let's discuss the newest foodiness water product to hit the shelves called Dream Water. Now, this one is great. Dream Water claims that it can help you sleep and that it induces deeper relaxation and calms you down. It also claims that you'll wake more refreshed and that with enough Dream Water, you could rule the world. According to their website homepage image, it also claims that you can climb an icy, snowy mountain peak and control the world from there. Now, Dream Water comes in a little tiny 2.5-ounce bottle, and they claim that all you need is that 2.5-ounce bottle at bedtime. Now, of course, that's all you're going to need at bedtime, because if you drank more than 2.5 ounces of water, you would be waking up to pee shortly thereafter, thus ruining the sleep-inducing effect, right? Now, Dream Water, which, by the way, has a beautiful, foodiness-perfect flavor called snoozeberry, contains a chemical called GABA, G-A-B-A. Not like Yo Gabba Gabba or Gabba Gabba Hey, just GABA, or gamma-aminobutyric acid. Now, here's what the NYU Langone Medical Center website has to say about GABA. The substance gamma-aminobutyric acid, GABA, is a neurotransmitter, a chemical used by the human nervous system to send messages and modulate its own function. GABA acts in an inhibitory manner, tending to cause nerves to calm down. Drugs in the benzodiazepine receptor agonist family, a family that includes true benzodiazepines such as Valium, as well as related drugs such as Ambien or Lunesta, exert their effect by facilitating the ability of GABA to bind receptor sites in the brain. This in turn leads to relaxation, relief from anxiety, induction of sleep, and suppression of seizure activity. Unfortunately, when GABA is taken orally, GABA levels in the brain do not increase, presumably because the substance itself cannot pass the blood-brain barrier and enter the central nervous system. For this reason, oral GABA supplements cannot replicate the effect of tranquilizing drugs, even though they work through a GABA-related mechanism. Now, I have anxiety just from reading that, but let's get to the point. So, you can get a prescription for Ambien or Lunesta or any other big pharma sleep inducer if you wanted to go the pharmaceutical route. Or you could just go out to your local Walmart and get a sixer of Dreamwater and pay no copayment. Now, I looked Dreamwater up on the Walmart website, and they're selling a value pack of Dreamwater in four bottles for $9.97. That's the Walmart discount price, of course. Now, there are no Walmarts yet here in New York, thank you, Jesus. So I would have to go to Duane Reade or CVS or Rite Aid, which occupy half of the storefronts in our city anyway, so obviously Jesus already has it out for us. Now, in the Walmart value pack, there are four 2.5-ounce bottles. So do the math with me here. That's 10 ounces of water for $10. A dollar an ounce for water. Zero-calorie water. Cheaper than weed, I suppose, but probably not as effective for inducing sleep. So here's a novel idea. Instead of spending $10 on water to help you sleep, how about exercising for 10 minutes a day or drinking two or three fewer Diet Cokes or cookie dough caramel frappuccinos during the day? Ditch those, get on the exercise and the water, and trust me, you'll sleep. Just a thought. And you'll be less likely to get cancer since you aren't consuming all those artificial flavors and colors put into plastic bottles with molecules that leak out into your system in the first place. Now, a very long time ago, I did another show. There have been so many, which I can't remember. I can't remember which one it was, and neither could Chris, where I mentioned a product called NeuroWater, which was supposed to improve your memory, and which came in flavors like NeuroBliss, NeuroHorny, or something like that. I don't think the NeuroWater brand line ever really made it. It seems to have disappeared, and the hilarious thing about it was that Neuro paid for a storefront window display in all the Gristedes supermarkets in New York. There's a Gristedes in Chelsea on 8th Avenue, right around the corner from Chris's apartment, and we watched that display. Now, that display is in a Gristedes next to Forager's Market, which I've talked about, which is across from Subway and Organic Avenue and 8th Avenue's largest nail salon, which opened where Big Cup Coffee Shop used to be, independently owned coffee shop, on the same avenue with about 10 new drugstores in a 10-block radius. Anyway, they put up this display of Neuros, and we watched over the course of a few weeks as they all started falling down like bowling pins in the window. And nobody in the store either cared or knew about it, and they just lay there sort of haplessly and pathetically until eventually they just cleared the whole thing away and the whole thing was out of sight. Maybe the problem with the Neuro was they weren't flavoring it with snoozeberry, which brings me to my final word on Dreamwater, which comes in the perfectly beautiful name, snoozeberry flavor. I love that name, snoozeberry. Apparently, when you crossbreed blueberries and pomegranates, you get snoozeberries, or at least that's what I inferred from the picture on the front of the bottle. Now, I've never seen a snoozeberry growing in the wild. Blueberries, blackberries, wineberries, crunchberries, dingleberries. Yeah. Snoozeberries? No. It must be a new patented hybrid developed by Monsanto or somebody like that. They'll be selling the seeds shortly to farmers in Bangladesh. So get ready for the newest superfruit to hit stores this summer. Now, I wonder if snoozeberry is related to snozberry, which was a flavor that Willy Wonka used in his everlasting gobstoppers. They might want to double check their patent and trademark office about that one. just to be sure. Now, at the Let's Get Real second anniversary party, which we'll be holding this coming September, we'll be serving snozzberry martinis sweetened with Splenda. Chris's will be dusted with ketamine that he found in a vial that's been sitting in his vinyl pants since 1999, because now vinyl pants are illegal in Chelsea because they emotionally disturb all the children. We're going to take another very short break here. When we come back, we'll talk about our final Trending Now item for the week. We'll be right back.
This one's called Kill You in the Summertime by Dead Stars on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Weitz, your host. Remember, if you're a fan of Let's Get Real, you can follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. You can also find the show on Facebook. You can also visit my website, letsgetrealshow.com. And you can also find all Heritage Radio Network shows ever produced on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes. So many choices. So for our final Trending Now item tonight, we have a story from France. The original defenders of real food and classic cuisine. The upholders and arbiters of all things gastronomic and tasteful, le français. Well, it turns out that in France, they're now getting some of their energy produced from biofuel made from waste processing. Okay, mais oui, that's good. I'm down with that. Anything that uses up waste and fewer fossil fuels is okay with me. But when you say biofuel, or when I say biofuel to you, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it biodiesel made from French fry oil? I tend to get an image of corn stalks, wheat chaffs, rice hulls, wood chips, things like that, ethanol. What about candy? Yeah. Those elitist, snobby French with their fancy pants, foie gras ways, are using damaged and discarded M&M shells from a candy factory in their biofuel factory. Okay, I'm even fine with that. Use that crap up. I'm okay with it. At least they're not feeding the damaged, discarded candy to cattle, which is what we do here in the U.S. Yep. We feed our rejected, dejected, and damaged candy to cattle because it's cheaper than feeding them grain. So we grow grain to make corn syrup and sugar, and then we process that into candy, and then we feed that candy back into the cattle to make meat for the potato people to eat. All that apparently is cheaper than just growing grain to feed them, or even better, just letting them graze on grass. I am very confused by this. But anyway, back to my story about France. So the M&Ms. There's an M&M factory, apparently, in France. Their reject shells get sent to this waste processing plant. So in the northeast of France is a region that is a large honey producer. Many people in the region make their living as beekeepers and honey producers, and the standards and control of their honey is very strictly enforced, which is excellent. Not like in China, where colored corn syrup is bottled and called honey and dumped on the U.S. market for such a cheap price that it kills the American honey producers. And of course, the Chinese honeycomb is enhanced with extra lead and arsenic and cadmium, so they do have that advantage. So in this region of France, where beekeepers are already suffering due to colony collapse and erratic weather patterns, the same problems we're having here with our beekeepers, the hives suddenly started producing honey-like syrups in vibrant shades of blue and green and red and brown. Now, nobody could figure it out until I realized that the bees, who are very industrious and very smart, but also will go for the closest food source, had gotten into the barrels of M&M debris at the waste processing plant. They were then carrying the colored sugar back to their hives and making not exactly honey out of it. Of course, none of it could be sold because it was blue and red, and also because it didn't fit the legal definition of honey. It wasn't made out of flower nectar, so it's not honey. Now, here in the U.S., I'm sure there would probably be a market for it simply because it was M&M colored and flavored, and I bet M&M Mars is right now getting their R&D scientists on it, trying to think of a way to make M&M flavored honey flavored M&Ms. Did you get that? M&M flavored honey flavored M&Ms from France. Then they could charge a premium because all of us elite food snobs would buy them because they were French. What would we call honey M&Ms? H&Ms? No, I guess that won't work. Buzz and Buzz? I don't know. We have to work on that one. Let's get the branding team on it. The point is, once you fed your kids M&M flavored honey, how can you ever go back to just plain old honey? I mean, when's the last time you saw a kid eating just plain old yogurt? Now, this same thing happened in Brooklyn a couple of years ago when some bees got into a maraschino cherry factory in Red Hook and produced red honey. Somehow this is worse, though, because at least the maraschino cherries once started out as real food. So this is seriously the foodiness rabbit hole inverting itself, coming up and out from under the ground and consuming all of us here at the surface. It's beyond a new realm of foodiness. It's inverted world foodiness. Like a foodiness black hole where even real food can't escape. It's M&M's foodiness taking over the natural world, like Agent Smith in The Matrix, turning everyone into copies of himself. So let's get real about all of this. I know I'm going to sound elitist, but here we go. Just exercise, eat real food, and drink filtered water out of the tap, and you'll sleep more and be less likely to get cancer. That's my health advice for the week. And you won't have to wake up on a Sunday morning at 6 a.m. to run for somebody else's colon. Now, as for honey, I'm having to retract my Let's Get Real party line, which is that you don't have to grow vegetables or raise bees to have a real food lifestyle, because now it looks like you are going to have to raise your own bees. But think of the Facebook and Instagram possibilities that that will afford you. So that's it for tonight's special episode of Let's Get Real's Trending Now show. And remember, if you don't want to eat shit or drink shit or get cancer from shit and you want to get your sleep and you don't want to get up at 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings and you don't want to eat H&Ms, keep tuning in to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. Thanks to Joe in the control room and Chris Snutter, my co-producer. And we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.